So as you guys have heard, this Sunday is Mission Sunday, and as you can see, we're highlighting Run for the Sun. And we're also shining a light on both you and I and our call to the Great Commission, all right? This picture may make you laugh, but I want to share with you, what are you willing to do? What kind of sweat, what kind of tears, what kind of, work for the Lord that God's called you to, that it's going to embody a little bit of work? Well, on my first ever mission trip, you can guess my grandmother actually took this and laminated it so I could forever have it, right? And this is me dressed in a kangaroo suit hopping around a mall for my mission trip. So I actually went around to secular businesses and asked them, would you sponsor me a penny a hop, a nickel a hop, a dime a hop? Little did they know that I would do 1,000 hops, okay? Now, I would take a break, and my friend would feed me this small straw through the kangaroo shoe opening, and I would drink some water as I'm sweating profusely inside this very heated suit, all right? And then we invited children from my parents' daycare center, and they hopped with me. Well, needless to say, when I'm on 800 hops and there's this little five-year-old, I'm like, I hope I don't hop on you as I'm hopping, because I can only see through those small holes there of the suit. Why do I share this? Because, again, it's funny. But another reason is to say, what are you willing to do to fulfill the Great Commission? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to go even in a dangerous situation? And are you willing to write down a license plate and call the police to save 8 ladies? Are you willing to sweat for Jesus? I want you to read the Great Commission on our screen here, and it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, found in Matthew 28:19. God calls you and I to go. It's pretty simple. God doesn't make it really complicated. He calls you and I to go. To go next door, to go all the way across the world and everywhere in between. Right? Go to every tribe, every nation. How do you do that? Well, I will tell you this, though, one thing. I've got to share this. Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary that changed the way we do missions. Back in the day, you would come as a missionary and you would bring your Britishness. He was from he was from England. I knew I was going to mess that up. And so he was from England and he came, but he said, you know, every missionary would come and say, you have to talk like us, you have to dress like us, you have to do everything like us. So not only are you accepting Jesus, but you're accepting the European culture that I'm bringing. Hudson Taylor says, no, when you go to China, you become Chinese. It means you wear the same haircuts the Chinese do. You dress in the same way that they dress. You live as they live. And he would share all of this, and people would want to give. And today we will receive an offering. But this is my challenge to you. He wouldn't take up an offering. You know why? Because there were some that God was burning in their hearts for missions, burning in their hearts to go, and they would medicate it with money. Well, I've done my part. I threw my $5 in the offering. God wants more than your $5. He wants your life. So don't medicate it. It's great to give, and we're going to give. And I ask you to give sacrificially to a ministry that is going to be 4 ministries in one that you're pouring into. But don't medicate the burn in your heart to go ye therefore with an offering. Allow this to stir you up on the inside. Because guess what? If you are a living, breathing Christian, it should stir you up on the inside. Because we're called to go. And because God says, I can use you. I can use you. Even if you're wearing a kangaroo suit. I can use you. So maybe you get involved with CMA. Maybe that's part of it. right? 40% of the funds raised today help CMA reach out to bikers throughout the United States and around the world. CMA does this by primarily getting involved in rallies, events, and with various motorcycle organizations. I love that you guys reach out to those who others might be intimidated to reach out to, and for a good reason. Because you know what? Hell's Angels, there's a reason why they're called that. Okay? It's not just a fun name at the park. Okay? There's a reason that they're named that. So although we should not stereotype, there is a challenge in this ministry and a challenge for all of us. When many people think of bikers, they think of biker gangs that are dangerous and act immorally. Now, we in South Dakota know and are familiar with many bikers that are just bike for fun. They're not even involved in any kind of group. They just go, and they just love to be on the road, and they love their bike, all right? I know some people like that. And so, again, not to stereotype, but there is a reality of bikers and an immorality, and it's the sex trafficking. It's huge. There's a huge correlation. And so we are called to shine our light in the midst of the darkness. And we're called to be in the world and not of the world. Again, here you'll see, this is, again, just explaining that through slide. We do this primarily getting involved in rallies, events, and the various motorcycle organizations. Great slides that CMA has. We're just showing them off. But I want to show off this. This is such an important point that CMA nationally is saying, and I want this to resonate in your heart. We don't become them, but we reach out in service and look for opportunities to let our light shine. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. I have given them, this is Jesus' prayer, and this is kind of a commissioning prayer that Jesus is praying over you and me, over his disciples, and he says, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. We'll go over, what does that mean? Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth. So Jesus, he speaks these words as a prayer, as a farewell discourse. Like I said, very similar to the Great Commission. This is given before his ascension, and this prayer is made for the benefit of Jesus' disciples. So who is that? That is you, and that is me. And suddenly we've gone purple. It's okay. And so I ask you the question, why does the world hate them? Why does the world hate them? Well, I'll give you two reasons, and they're two big reasons. It's because as disciples receiving the word of Jesus, which is the revelation of the Father, and therefore show that we, like Jesus himself, belong to God and not to the world. For this revelation does condemn the world's ways. So let me put it to you simply. One is because you're not a part of them. So the devil can do two things to attack you. One is he can become, be a part. Come on, it's exciting. Sin is exciting. Oh, it's good stuff. Just try it once, and you'll be addicted to this lifestyle in this way. Come be a part. Come be a part. That's how the devil will act. Or when, again, we're sealed and saved in him, I hate you, and I want nothing to do with you. You are rejected by society. You are the crazy people. You are the people that are on the fringe. You don't belong. So if the devil can't get you to be a part, then he'll tell you he rejects you. How many of you remember when you were a teenager and you really wanted to be a part of a group and you felt rejected? Or you had somebody that was supposedly your friend and all they did was mock you and make fun of you? We've been there, right? Where we're in the group, but we're not of it because of the rejection that they have for us. And we're like, why do I get this? Let me tell you, it's because you got Jesus on you. And the world doesn't like that. That's what Jesus says. He says, they are going to hate you because you're marked by my name. You are a part of me. He's saying that. He's saying, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. People don't like to be told they're wrong. That's another aspect of why they don't like us, why they hate us. They don't want to admit that they rejected Jesus in the first place. And it's also hard to know that you're doing wrong. Because then you have to say, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to live a different way. And they don't like that. I want to tell you kind of a funny story, though. And it kind of goes back to this. We don't become them, but we reach out in service and look for opportunities to let our light shine. There was a pastor that settled out west, and he pastored a church that was mostly in the lumber business. Pretty much everybody was in the lumber business there. And while he was there, he understood that there was something that was going on that he needed to confront. See, in the logging business, there was a mark that they'd put an owner stamp on the end of the log and send it down the river. And the pastor saw this, his members pulling in the logs and sawing off the end where the stamp of ownership appeared. The next Sunday, he preached a sermon on the text, "Thou shalt not steal." And there were many people that said, "That is a great sermon, Pastor. That is a fantastic, I've never heard such a great sermon." And then he looked next week and nobody changed anything. They just kept on sawing the logs. And I didn't mean they were sleeping either, okay? They're sawing the logs and they're sawing off that emblem. And so he came back to the pulpit that week and his new sermon was, "Thou shalt not cut off the end of thy neighbor's logs." A little bit more pointed, right? A little bit more focused. And like a laser, it can burn. It can burn. And when he got through, the church membership ran him out of town. The hardest person to put under the correction of God's word is yourself. In this illustration, the whole body needed to experience salvation that really produced fruit in their lives. So we know that the world gets disdained at telling them that they're wrong. But even our selfish, sinful nature, if we get told wrong, our arms go up. Our wall goes up. How dare you tell me I'm in the wrong? But if we really love one another, we're going to challenge one another. We're going to call each other to a standard of holiness. Guess what? Because your kids are watching. Because your grandkids are watching. Because other people at work are watching. So I challenge you, in this evangelistic sermon that we're talking about today, it's great to go out and do an event. But guess what? If you're cussing at work, you're not being a good witness. This is where the log is a little bit pointed. If you're acting like they are, and they can't tell the difference between you and them, then we need our hearts pricked. And we need to start examining ourselves and saying, what is coming out of this? And does this need to go under fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit, to convict? This is something I pray all the time. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, my rock and my redeemer, because I need you to sanitize this and sanitize this. Clean it out and clean it up. So that when I actually get in front of sinners, which Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. That's what Paul uses his vocabulary. That I resonate Christ. I'm a cracked vessel. I'm a cracked pot. Okay, I'm Potter. All right, so I'm a cracked pot, but so are you. And I'm not crazy. Well, maybe a little. But again, cracked pot. Okay. But God wants to resonate that light and life through you and me. And he can use our weak points to show forth his strength. Again, Jesus doesn't come to condemn the world, but that doesn't mean we condone their behavior. Lives change when we truly experience the grace given by Christ. So to put it simply, when you don't act them like them and you act like Jesus with skin on, present day, I am Christ in front of you, what would Jesus do is not just a little bracelet that we wore in the 90s, right? Has it been 2000s now? 90s, I would say. You know, WWJD. Oh, that's so old, Pastor. It's never old, right? It's never old to act like Jesus. It's never old to show forth the character of Christ because Holy Spirit, He is the one that's empowering me to live like that. And then my friend sees and goes, there is something different in you. And it's not because you're holier than thou. It's not because you're so religious. One time we did a drama where a kid comes up and they're like, what are you? And they're like, bawk, 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 bawk. He's like, I'm a chicken. He's like, why do you think you're a chicken? Because I eat corn. Bawk, bawk. And another person comes up and they're like, meow, meow. And they say, what are you? He said, I'm an airplane. Why are you an airplane? Because I have gas. Okay. you might get it later. Okay, and then third, this one person comes up. What are you? I'm a Christian. Then another person on his other side comes up and goes, you have to see this, right? If you're listening, I'm lifting something. He's like, what are you? I'm a Christian. Okay, let's ask you. You seem funnier, okay? Why do you think you're a Christian? Because I carry a really big Bible. Woo! 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 And why do you think you're a Christian? Because I go to church on Christmas and Easter. I have my name written in the church logbook. I haven't been there for 10 years, but I have my name written in the logbook. Question is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Not in some logbook in some church that's holding dust. And the question isn't if I can carry this big law around that, oh, I'm just, man, I really carry this heavy Bible. Has the Bible changed your heart? And it's in here. You don't need to carry this huge thing. You got an iPhone, okay? That's all in there, okay? No, I'm just joking. But again, just this aspect of it, has it changed you? You can carry something around, but has it transformed you? Has it changed you? Has it made you new? That's what evangelism is about. Evangelism is about showing Christ, right? It's not rocket science. We can do it. And sometimes it's giving out a cup of coffee at a station where a motorcyclist comes up and you give them a cup of coffee or a cup of cold water and you hand them a track. But don't, just like funds that we're going to collect today, don't let a track keep your mouth tied from sharing the gospel. Don't let a track do it. Don't let a piece of paper do it. Don't let just your friends sitting next to you do it. Because we are all called to the Great Commission. We're all called to be a part. Therefore, be imitators of God, Ephesians 5 says. As beloved children, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Sometimes we stop here. We just stop at what Jesus did for us. But what does it say? But sexually immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as if proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. This is okay with the world. It's okay that you drop the F-bomb in places. Guess what? That's not okay with Jesus. It's not okay to have coarse joking and then like, hey, I'm a part of CMA. You cool with that? Oh, bleep, bleep, bleep. You cool? I'm going to tell you a dirty joke. you in with me? I don't care if you're CMA or you're a church member, you're just a plain old Christian. To try to connect with them, connecting is not telling dirty jokes. Connecting is not using coarse words. You're not connecting with them. They might go away and go, that person, I knew that they were all the same. I knew Christians were all the same. They talk like me. They walk like me. There's nothing different about them. That's not what we want, right? We want them walking away going, there's something different.
about that Christian. And they were willing to talk to me. I feel like I'm the scum, the refuse, the garbage. But they were willing to come to me, go in places where nobody else would go, and then they shared the love of Jesus. There's something different about that guy. There's something different about that girl. But it happens by living this way. Because it shows there's a change in us. We're showing the fruit of his love. Instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Guys, when it comes down to it and we're transformed, we're going to show fruit that transformation's happening. And guess what? If we're not, guess what? We have to come back to the cross and get an overhaul. There are times I pray against my transmission ever going bad, okay? But if my transmission shuts down, I'm not going anywhere. If your transmission spiritually shuts down, you're not going anywhere until you get a new one. And guess what? Christ offers one. And he paid the great sacrifice for it. And some of us may go, well, I've heard that a bunch, Pastor. I've heard that a bunch. It never gets old. Because he's renewing you every day. He's transforming us every day so that we can be imitators of God, so that we can show the light and life of Jesus. And he points us back to the purity of our mission. We don't become them, but we reach out in service and look for opportunities to let our light shine. CMA and the ministries it pours into dare to be different. They're set apart for God's work. What does it mean to sanctify? It means to set apart for God's work. We shine the light of Jesus into the world. Really, CMA is about breaking the mold. It's about being the hands and feet of Jesus. It's about being the church. So for us to fulfill the Great Commission, we can go. The next slide that I'm going to show you, we can give. We can give, and we can go. Again, the CMA partnered with Open Doors and Missionary Ventures and the Jesus Film. I was in Botswana, and I actually got to see the Jesus Film. That was one of the highlights of my life. And I will tell you, remember where those kids were crying, and they were shouting out? And then they were rejoicing and clapping at the end. The screen didn't say clap at the end, okay? These are the, and what was so neat too, we set up and it looked kind of like that top screen right there. I didn't get a picture as it was going on because sometimes there's just sovereign moments and I don't like to interrupt them with, let me get my camera and start. That is great to do, but I just, at that time, and we're not talking phones, I had like my camera, you know? And so, what's so funny is a small group of people gathered and then more, and it was more full than this room. It would be like if you were all standing up and you were shoulder to shoulder packed in this room. And then they sat down and they saw, and when Jesus healed the blind man, they're like, oh my goodness. And when Jesus was crucified, they're crying. And I'm not just talking about kids, I'm talking about adults. Those tears coming down their cheek. And when a call for salvation was, they were shooting their hands up. They wanted an answer. They wanted the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come and live inside of them. That's because of what you're doing. There's nothing like it. And to be there and see that firsthand, it just moved my heart so much. But that's what you're given to today. That's what you're given to today. As we shared before, historically, CMA partners, and every dollar invested in the Jesus Film, at least 10 people worldwide see the film, and one person accept Christ out of that 10. I can testify, like I said, to those statistics, seeing people in Botswana give their heart to Christ. And this isn't the first year that CMA has been doing this. They've been doing it for years. Throughout the years, as they started, 13 million people made decisions for Christ because people gave towards Run for the Sun. Just as these 13 million people prayed to ask Jesus in their heart, the third thing we could do is pray. We could pray.
We could pray for the Jesus film. We could pray for the Bibles, the 2.7 million Bibles that have already been distributed through Open Doors that you're partnering with today. Again, when we think about this, think about the impact. So this morning, we want to encourage one another to fulfill the Great Commission. We know that God calls all of us. So whether we go overseas, I don't know if I showed you this picture or not. Hold on. We could pray. I took that picture. And just being able to pour into these kids for a week-long VBS and to see them praying and to see them, how precious. How precious. And so we could pray. We could pray for all of this taking part. And there's prayer where we say a quick prayer. And then there's prayer where we're really with groans, where we pray in the Spirit, where we're praying like we've never prayed before for people groups that have never heard. I will tell you guys, in the 1040 window, not everyone has been reached. There are huge groups of unreached people groups that we have not reached. We've reached a country, let's call that red or let's call that yellow, but that country has sometimes millions, sometimes billions of people in that country that need to be reached. So the work is not done. Just because we can color a country red or yellow that we've reached it, we haven't reached it because there's a certain amount of huge groups of people, pockets of people that have not heard the gospel, that need to hear. And so we got to go after them with a vengeance. We got to go after the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We got to go after it. And this is one way we can go after it this morning, today. We want to encourage you. Again, like I said, maybe you've never seen a lion firsthand. I was sitting in a thing like this, but over here, and got to see this lion come out. Man, that looks like Aslan, doesn't it? And I was also a member of this team making these bricks out of clay. I felt like I was back in Egypt, right? They still do this to make homes, right? So we participated in building homes by making clay bricks. And then you see Sun, God of the Jesus, and they had to put it in right order. And they did that in English, and they also did it in their language. So whether you're actually overseas and in front of a lion or you're sending someone, guess what? God calls us to do both and. And God told me to do all this before I was a pastor too. A lot of people think, well, you're a pastor. Of course you went overseas on a mission trip. No, I did that before that. I've continued to go on mission trips after that. Now that I'm a pastor, I'm not like, oh, I'm done evangelizing. No, right? But again, I'm telling you that, again, you can be a CMAer and go overseas and deliver those motorcycles. You could be one that goes on a mission trip to Africa and shares the love of Jesus. There's a lot that God calls us to do. You know, I believe, I do not mean to put you guys on the spot, but Irene and Oye, I believe we're going to be sending agents for them someday. Now, I don't know if we're going to send them back to Nigeria. I don't know if we're going to send them to another state here in America. I don't know if they're going to go to Canada at some point. I'm not saying that's part of it, so don't after service go, you're going to Canada, okay? But I want to send them out with the fire of the Lord, and what a joy they are. Aren't they an awesome family? Can we give a hand for them? Nigerian family, and they're like, don't talk about me, Pastor. I apologize in advance. But my point is, I'm not bringing you up just to bring you up. I'm bringing your family up to say, you guys have been in Nigeria. You've been among Muslims. You've been witnessing to Muslims and seeing them come to Christ. And my heart is not just that couple, but every one of you, we are called to send, right? Sometimes people see it as like, well, we lost that family. We didn't lose them. We sent them. We sent them. And that's our heart. That's our heart, is to be sending our CMA out there to do the work of the Lord, sending you and I to participate in the work of the gospel, because we're about global missions. We're about reaching the world for Jesus. And so I want to, as the ushers come forward in just a moment, we're going to receive our offering for Run for the Sun. And so as you're preparing to do that, pray, ask the Lord, what is it that you would have me to give? Maybe you've been praying even before this. What is it that you would have me to give? And we're going to show another video. It's about equipping pastors, and it connects with the Jesus film. It's an incredible testimony. And then after that, so ushers, you guys can come forward. And then after that, we ask all the CMAers to come forward, and we're just going to anoint you in oil for the work that the Lord has you to do. And believing that he's continuing to send you, whether you've been in CMA for a year or 16 years, that the Lord is still sending us into parts of South Dakota and our local chapter and everything that God has. So let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you. Thank you, God, for the Jesus film. Thank you, God. I count it such a privilege to be able to be a part of that, setting it up, inviting people, being a part of showing that film and seeing people respond. God, thank you for the CMAers that are delivering motorcycles and a camel and snowmobiles and all of these, again, these vehicles of the gospel to propel the gospel. God, thank you for open doors, for them distributing Bibles amongst the persecuted church that are dying for a Bible, literally. And God, thank you for CMA and the work that's being done here and around the world to reach out to those that have long forgot God or long felt rejected. God, I thank you that you haven't rejected them. That like the prodigal son, that you run to the prodigal son and embrace the prodigal son or daughter. I know this is a weird time to do this, but keep your heads bowed, and maybe you feel far away from the Lord. Maybe you feel like that biker that just is so lost and unloved, and maybe you've delved in things that you shouldn't have, and maybe you've gone in places that you shouldn't, and the Lord's saying, come back to me, run to me, run to me, run to me, and I'll embrace you. I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. I don't want you living that lifestyle as stated in Ephesians. I don't want you living like that. But that's because I care for you as a loving father. Would you run to me? And if that's you, would you slip up your hand? And I want to pray with you. I see that hand. God bless you. I'm just going to wait a moment more. You're just, again, the Lord's calling you. And would you just say, Lord, I'm returning to you. I'm returning to you. I don't want to live like the world. I see that hand. God bless you. I don't want to live like the world. I want to return to you. And maybe just as a Christian, you need to raise your hand, and just with you, you know, maybe I'm going to close my eyes for right now, but I ask you that you would raise your hand. Maybe you've done some coarse joking. Maybe you've talked wrong. Maybe you put some stuff on Facebook that you shouldn't. Maybe you've dropped some bombs that you shouldn't have been dropping. I'm closing my eyes. Would you respond to the Lord and just raise up your hand and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I need some cleaning out. Doesn't mean you reject me. In fact, you invite me into cleansing. And you can slip down that hand. Again, I don't have my eyes open here. But this is about you getting real with God. Because he wants to get real with you, and he wants the fruit that will last to come out of you. And so, God, as we pray over this offering, like, that was a long prayer for offering, Pastor. As we pray over this offering, Lord God, we ask that you would anoint it, that souls would be saved through this offering. That, Lord God, that we would give the equipment of Bibles and motorcycles and everything that you need us as resources to give so that these things can be done. In precious Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's take a look at that video. Isn't that awesome how compatible and compact that was to be able to pack the Jesus film and show it in a backpack like that, and to go to areas that are so hard to get to that could only be gotten to through a motorcycle. And he's going to take the Jesus film on his back and go to those villages and show them. And obviously share what he's been doing through CMA for the last 6 years until he burned out that old bike, right, because of that much travel. It's just powerful, isn't it? So powerful. Would our leadership team and CMA, you guys all come forward, and we're going to pray over you, and then we'll conclude the service from there. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. And if you guys just line up kind of straight across, that'd be awesome. And whoever wants to get up and come lay hands on them, you're welcome to at this time. You can come on up and pray over them too. Feel free. Why don't everybody stand? You guys want to stand with me as we pray over them? Hallelujah. Here, I'll give you guys some oil too. And would you just extend your hand? Lord God, we just thank you. Thank you for each of these CMA members, Lord God. Thank you for their love. Thank you, Lord God, for their service. Thank you, God, for how you've been using them to rescue the lost, Lord God, to give a cup of cold water to somebody in need. And you say, when you do it for me, you're doing it for me as you give it to them, as you give it to them with that love and that grace. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, for using these individuals over and over again. Open up opportunities again and again and again. Lord God, I pray that the conversation would just veer towards Christ. I thank you, God. Anoint their prayers, God, as they pray over these bikers for safety, Lord God, as they pray over these bikers, just the good news that Christ loves them, that they are restored, that they are renewed in Him. Lord God, I pray that you would just fill these individuals with your Holy Spirit in a powerful, powerful way, Lord God. We're praying for more testimonies, Lord God, next year, Lord God, of your great love and all that's done. Thank you, God, for using the words of their mouth, Lord God, and their thoughts and everything that's about them, Lord God, to be used as warriors for you, Lord God, as members of the body of Christ that know what it means to reach the unreached, to reach those that others would look over, Lord God. Bikers kind of are an unreached people group, God, because people do avoid sharing the love of Christ because of the intimidation factor. And I just pray that courage would rise up, Lord God, that strength and the gifts of the Spirit would be used in them and through them, Lord God. We thank you, and we thank you for Run for the Sun. God, I ask that you protect them as they do the Run for the Sun. I pray, Lord God, that you would bless them on this ride. I thank you for the corporate prayer that's going to go on, Lord God. I thank you for the unity in the body of Christ across denominations, Lord God. I thank you for your word going out and not returning void. And we thank you for it, and we love you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, Lord, bless you guys. And as we conclude the service, thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've commissioned us to do. May we go about it faithfully and obediently, God, as we serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Awesome.